Shemai Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ehad. During the days of the Old Testament sojourn of the people of God with their God, little Hebrew boys and girls heard those same words, those magnificent words of faith, that great statement of faith in a sovereign God. They heard those words twice every day. As their father stood in the doorway of the tent or of their home and declared to the world that he and his family belonged to the only God who is, and the God who had made himself known to his people and called them to him and given them grace and love, the God of the covenant. Shemai Yisrael, hear, O Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord is our God. Yahweh Ehad, the Lord is one. And that Lord, who has revealed himself to his people, is a God who enters into relationship with his people on the basis of the covenant. The covenant wherein God himself, the God who created all things and sustains all things, the God who alone is worthy in the praise of the praise and adoration of men, that God has declared to his people that he will walk in their midst and he will be their God and they will be his. And every time the Old Testament people of God used that title of that people, Israel, they were reminded that they were the people of God by grace alone. For they were reminded that that God, who is the Lord, Jehovah, the everlasting God, the only God who is, that God had called Abraham out of the darkest paganism. He had called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gathered him and his family to himself. And that God had substituted a ram for Isaac. Even as the knife was plunging its way toward the heart of that boy, God stopped Abraham and substituted the ram for that boy. And they remembered that it was Jacob, deceiver and supplanter, who wrestled with God and was allowed to prevail and was given then the name Israel, Prince of God. And all by grace. Shemai Yisrael, hear, O Israel, O people of the grace and the goodness of God. There is only one God, and by his grace, he is your God. And you and I know that God made his covenant promises with his people as families. He entered into his covenant with Abraham and through him with his wife and his children and all who were under his roof. And the same with Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and with all of those who followed them in the train of faith, even unto the present day. God gathers his people unto himself in families. The religion of the Bible is a family religion. The head of the household is responsible for all others. But God gathers himself into, gathers his people to himself as families and makes of them a great family, which in the New Testament is called the church. And so we at Park City's Presbyterian Church are the family of God in this place. And that same God says to you and to me, by grace, I will walk in your midst, and you will be my people. I will dwell where you are. He comes to us as families. Now, it may be that you're single. It may be that you are single again. It may be that you are in high school and are looking forward to that day when perhaps God in his gracious providence will give you a family, will make you a part of your own family. But you see, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We are all a part of that family of God by his grace. And we all relate to him in these family ways. We are God's covenant family in our homes, in our church. Well, what is God's covenant family? What marks, what characterizes God's covenant family? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. We'll begin reading at verse 4. Let's give our careful attention to this portion of the Word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Amen. Let us pray. A gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would do His work in these moments, His work of illumination, that our hearts and our minds would be opened to Thy truth, and that we might recognize who we are and whose we are, and that we would be what Thou hast called us to be, Thy covenant family, here in our homes, in our community. Teach us, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. What is God's covenant family? I think, first of all, we would say that God's covenant family is a believing family. Notice that it begins, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. That's a declaration of faith. That's a creedal statement. The father stood in the doorway and he declared to all who would hear that the family in that home belonged to the living God. They were believers by God's grace. And all, beloved, is it not good for us to be reminded that our relationship with God, any relationship with the God who is, begins with doctrine. It begins with truth. God opens His heart unto us by opening His Word unto us and opening our minds to receive that Word. We enter into relationship with God by that truth which He has caused to be revealed in the Holy Scriptures. You and I come unto Him by truth. We are concerned, therefore, about doctrine. We are concerned about theology, if you will. Who is that God whom we worship? Jehovah is one. He is the only living and true God. He only is God, and He is one, and He has spoken, and He has revealed Himself to us, and He has revealed Himself to us in words. And the Holy Spirit uses those words which teach truth about the God who is, to establish a relationship between us sinners and Himself. We must be concerned in God's covenant family about truth. We are Presbyterians. We know that great first question and answer to the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is man's chief end? Oh, I'm so glad you knew that. Wouldn't it be terrible to flunk church? What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And that second question, what rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? And the answer is, it is the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, which is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. And the third, what do the Scriptures principally teach? And the answer, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. That's so simple, but oh, it's so profound, for life is there. We exist to glorify Him. How can we know Him? How can we glorify Him? It's all in the Scriptures. And of what do the Scriptures speak? The Scriptures speak of God and our duty before Him. Beloved, don't you see that that's theology? That that's doctrine? What is theology? But theos, logos, the Word of God, the mind of God, the truth of God. Theology is just the study of God as he has revealed himself in his word. We are a creedal denomination, a confessional church, and we must be confessional families. We must understand that God's relationship with mothers and dads and with children and parents and cousins and brothers and sisters, that relationship that God establishes with his people is established in the truth. We are to know his truth. Isn't it significant that the Lord Jesus says in John 17:3 that this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's life, to know God according to his word. God's covenant family is a family that knows God according to the scriptures. It is a believing family. It is a family that believes together. For you'll notice in verse 7 that which God has revealed of himself is to be committed to the hearts and then committed to the children. And it is to be talked about in every phase of the family's existence, whether they are sitting at home or walking along the road, whether they are lying down or rising up, the word of God is to be taught. They are to believe together. The word of God is pictured here as covering, as pervading the entire life of the family. The whole family is to believe together. It is to share a common faith. These words shall be in your heart. And these words that are in your heart are to be in your mouth. These words that are on your mind are to be on your lips. Who is it who talks in the family circle? It's mother, it's dad. Who is it who models? It is mother, it is dad. Who is it who is sharing? It is the parent. You see, the focus is not on the children. It's not the children who talk. It's not the children who are proactive. It's the parents who do this. The focus in the covenant family is upon the parents. The children are to listen and to observe. How different from most television situation comedies these days, when everything revolves around the children. It's the children who talk, it's the children who act, and the parents exist only to make the children feel good about themselves and to get everything that they want. How different. But in the Word of God, you see, the focus is upon the parents, because the parent is to talk about God, and the parent is to model the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. How can the parent speak or the parent model if the children are governing and dominating the home? No, it is the parent who is to speak, and the family is to believe together. And it's as the children believe that they will behave. Oh, parent, don't you see what the Lord is saying to you and to me in this passage? That if we want our children to be what they should be, then we must be Christ to them. We must speak Christ to them. We must model the whole Word of God to them. We must be to them what we pray that they will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to believe together, to share together in the precious truth that God has given. And is this not also true in the family of God in the church? Are not our fathers in the church, the elders of the church, to speak to us of Christ and to model Christ to us? Are we not to look to those men whom God has caused to be elected as our fathers in the faith, those men as those who will lead us in the ways of righteousness, who will cause us to lie down in green pastures and cause us to drink of still waters as under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the focus in the church? The focus in the church is on the truth, as that truth is made plain to us by the elders of the church. We are a believing family. But God's covenant family is more. God's family, covenant family, is also a committed family, a loving family, an adoring family. Verses 5 and 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them. Pierce the hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. There is a family that is a committed family. They know God and they love God. You can't know Him without loving Him. To know the great God who is, to know the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to love Him. You can't know Him without loving Him. And to know Him, therefore, is to love Him with all one's heart and all one's soul. Believing and loving go together. It's the head and the heart together in worship of the living God. There's no true love of God apart from right thinking about God. And as we think right about Him, as He reveals Himself here, then we shall love Him with a sincere love, which means we shall love Him inwardly and in truth. It means we shall love Him with a superlative love, with the whole heart. It means we shall love Him with an intelligent love, with understanding. We shall know this God. It means we shall love Him with an entire love. The whole stream of our affections will run toward Him. That's family love. A love, you see, that is not focused on self. Self-esteem, self-image, self-love, but focused on God. We love Him as the Lord, the best of all beings. Is God the best of all beings to you? You find yourself sometime just running over with adoration and worship of this great God. You find as much as you love your spouse or your children or your parents or your friends, those loved ones, that love pales into insignificance in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him with all your heart and soul and strength and mind? That's a mark of God's covenant family. Dr. Elliott, who pastored in Dallas many, many years ago, preached a sermon back in the 1950s whose title was "The Expulsive Power of a New Affection." I loved that title. The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. And he was speaking in that sermon, you see, of the marvelous power that a new love has to push out of one's life all those things that are lesser. And when Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and lives, even though we love many things, there is no love like the love that we have for Him. Tom Sawyer loved Amy with all his heart until Becky Thatcher moved to town. You see, that's what he's talking about. Loving the Lord with such a love that all other love somehow takes second place. We love our children. And because we love our children, we want them more than anything else to love the God of the family, knowing that in that love will they have life and have it abundantly. And in the church of the Lord Jesus, you see, that's the secret of fellowship. That's the secret of relationships. It's not that by focusing upon fellowship and relationships that we build fellowship and relationships. We build fellowship and relationships by focusing upon God, by loving God. By loving Him with all our heart and soul and strength and mind, we learn to love each other even as He loved us in Christ. Psalm 78, which we read as we began the service, we will not hide God's word from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders of His love. We love, and so we must make that love known. And in making that love known, we love each other in Christ. But how is this maintained? How do we sustain that kind of love and that kind of relationship that is built upon that kind of love? Well, God's covenant family, thirdly, is a teaching family. Verse 6, so plain, is it not? These commandments are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Teach. Verses 7 through 9, teach. Verses 20 through 23, when your son asks you, why are we like we are? Tell him it's because we were slaves and God has brought us out of slavery, out of bondage, with a mighty hand. Teach. God's covenant family is a believing family. God's covenant family is a loving, adoring family. God's covenant family is a teaching family. The Word of God, through which we are brought into a relationship with God, is that word upon which we meditate day and night. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Teach, know, study, believe, teach the words that are laid up in the heart. Teach the thoughts that are centered in the Word, constantly in the family, reaffirming, reviewing, repeating, linking the Word to life. In the family, teaching the Bible, teaching the catechism, modeling Jesus Christ. Informally, teaching in the normal conversation of the home, in the attitudes, in casual observation. Teaching the magazines on the coffee table, the music that is allowed to come into the home, the television programs that are allowed to be viewed in the home. All of this teaches, teaches, teaches. Teach the truth. It should become routine. It should become elementary. It should become so habitual that the child just grows up thinking and behaving in that way. Constantly teaching the Word. There's one side of my family, most of whose members are not Christians. And this has been a great concern to me, of course. I remember one day many years ago when I learned something about one member of my family, or one branch of my family at least, that was a great encouragement to me. We were talking about a time when that family had been together for a Sunday meal, and there was a food. The tables were laden with food, and everybody sat down and began to pitch in. And little Susie, my second cousin, said, "Wait, wait, wait!" And everybody stopped and looked at Susie, and she said, "Aren't we going to talk to the plates?" Well, apparently, Susie's theology lacked a little something. But that delighted me. For that told me, you see, that someone was teaching Susie. That she had learned, it was just commonplace now, she had learned that you didn't eat until you talked to the plates. The Lord willing, as she grew, she learned what that meant. And what was happening when people bowed their heads and apparently looked at the plates and talked to the plates. But you see, that's what it should be in the Christian home. That those things that are right and good are done so routinely, are done so habitually, are done, you see, without fanfare and without sensationalism, in such a way that the child just understands that this is the way life is lived. The lightning flashes, and the believing parent says to the fearful child, "That's God's lightning." The rain thunders, and the believing parent speaks of the gracious and good God who enriches the earth with rain for spring and summer months. Insects buzz, and the believing parent speaks of the God who is so great, and yet he is the God of that tiny little insect. My son and I, when he was about 3 years old, were out in the front yard of the manse one evening, and he, being about three, was very much aware of the birds. He could see them hopping all about, and he learned early that those were birds. And whenever he saw a sparrow or a blue jay, it was a bird. And we were watching the birds hop about in the yard, and a little toad hopped across the sidewalk, and David immediately said, "Bird!" Well, poor kid just didn't have too much going for him, but after a while, I picked up that little toad and I held it in my hand and I spoke to him of the fact that this was not a bird, it was a frog, it was a toad. And he immediately, of course, as any three-year-old would, he grabbed that toad and he began to squeeze that little toad, and I quickly took the toad from him. "No, no, no, David, this is God's frog." I taught myself in that moment. But that's really what I was all about for David. I was to teach him. I had been intended by God to teach him that this whole world in which he lives is God's world. We are to teach, and we are to teach, and we are to teach. The parents are responsible. The elders are responsible to teach. To teach children and to teach God's people respect and responsibility and resourcefulness. To teach the fear of God. To teach children not so much self-esteem and to feel good about themselves, but obedience. That the child himself must participate in his own upbringing. That the child himself is responsible for his behavior, for his performance in school, for creative ways to spend his time. His parents do not exist to make him feel good and to be happy and to be always entertained. To teach him that his life is to be focused upon God, and that the only way of happiness is not for that happiness to be given to him by his parents, but that happiness, you see, to be his in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the elders are to teach us this as the family of God at Park City's Presbyterian Church, that all of life is to be focused upon God, that our children and that our children's children and the people of God will walk together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not long after I spoke to David about that toad, we had a big snow one Sunday night, about 20 inches of snow. This was back in West Virginia. And I, on Monday morning, had to do what every pastor gets to do on a Monday morning after the Lord's Day. I had to take out the trash. And I was taking out the trash and making my way through the snow in the backyard. And I heard a noise behind me, and I turned around, and here was David coming after me, and the snow was up almost to his waist. And he was trying, you see, to jump from my footstep to this footstep and to that step. And I turned back, and as I took him up, it dawned upon me what was happening. And it was almost too overwhelming. And I prayed as I lifted him into my arms, "Lord, help me never to walk where I would not want him to walk." See, that's the covenant family. That's the parents' prayer. That's the elders' prayer. Prayer. For God's covenant family is a believing family, an adoring, loving, committed family, a teaching family. And it's true that way in the church, you see, for we are God's family. And whether you are part of a traditional family, as we call it today, or whether you are a single or a grandparent or single again, you see, you still are part of a family. And we still relate to each other as members of a family to the God of the heavens and the earth. And the elders are our fathers, if you will. And their task, you see, is to cause us to be just this kind of family together, believing and adoring and teaching. Always teaching the truth. In Acts 2:42, we're told that that covenant family too, you see, was a believing family, an adoring family, a teaching family, as that people of God were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to prayers and the breaking of bread, and they had all things common and they rejoiced in the Lord, and we are told that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. What a beautiful testimony. Praising God and having favor with all the people. That should be our prayer for Park City's Presbyterian Church. That this community, as it beholds us, would see us praising God, and that we would indeed have favor with all of the people as they recognize that God is at work here. That together here we seek to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever, ever together. Not long after that snowstorm, we moved from West Virginia to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, just a few years later. And in Fort Lauderdale at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, we had a Christian kindergarten day school. My office was in one building, the church was in another, and I was walking across the parking lot one day from my study to the church building, and I passed the playground where the little kindergarten children were playing. And as I walked along, I heard a little voice pipe up, and some little child said, "Look, look, there goes the church." The Lord taught me again, and I prayed again, "Lord, how can that be? That this precious child should look upon me as the church." But don't you see that's exactly what it is? That's what it's all about. Let us pray that wherever we go as the family of God, God's covenant family, that the people around us will look at us and say, "There goes the church." And that will be a blessed testimony to the glory of Christ. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. The Lord, Jehovah, is our God. And He is one. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we confess that we are unworthy to be called Thy children, and we surely do not have it in us to be what Thou wouldst have us to be. Lord, forgive us and cleanse us and renew a right spirit within us and grant us to be Thy covenant family, believing Thy truth, all of Thy truth, adoring Thee, the God of that truth, and teaching that truth in all of life, at home and in the church and in the community, that Thou wouldst be glorified, that Thy name would be lifted up, and that people as they see us go would understand, there goes the church. Yea, there goes those who belong to Jesus, who alone is our Savior and our Lord, our great teacher, the one whom we worship, that one in whom we believe for life now and life forever. We make our prayer in His name. Amen.
visitor today and you would like to know more about this church, if you have a need in your heart, in your life that you would like to talk about, if you want to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, we ask that you would come down to the front following this service, and the pastors and others will be here that we might talk with you and you take advantage of this time as it's offered for you. As we pray in our benediction, and then remember we will sing our close to that benediction. And now may the God who loves us and who has called us, and may the Holy Spirit who is with us and strengthens us, and may the wonderful Son who loves us be with us all, now and forever.